the poor folks hate the rich folks, and the rich folks hate the poor folks. All of my folks hate all of your folks. It's American as apple pie. But during National Brotherhood Week, National Brotherhood Week, New Yorkers love the Puerto Ricans 'cause it's very chic. Step up and shake the hand of someone you can't stand. You can tolerate him if you try. Oh, the Protestants hate the Catholics, and the Catholics hate the Protestants, and the Hindus hate the Muslims, and everybody hates the Jews. But during National Brotherhood Week, National Brotherhood Week, it's National Everyone Smile at One Anotherhood Week. Be nice to people who are inferior to you. It's only for a week, so have no fear. Be grateful that it doesn't last all year.
This will be interesting.
Yeah, well. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Comedy on Vinyl. This week, we have Ari Jarvis.
Howdy.
Dan Gomiller.
Yeah.
Mike Warden.
Mm-hmm.
And myself. We're doing Tom Lehrer's. That was the year that was.
Tom Larry?
Tom Lehrer. Tom Lehrer's. That was the year that was. Now, I'm going to go ahead and admit that my experience is nothing compared to that with Ari Jarvis. That said, I'm the host of this fucking show, so fuck you, Ari. No, but let's talk about it. It's a really good album, and I've always liked him, but this one is, you know, this has got some of my favorite songs on it, although I do like Poisoning Pigeons in the Park, which we just listened to, and Mike is probably the least experienced with the album, but
yeah,
Mike is still our producer-contributor,
so
he sort of has to be here, really, I mean, to be fair. What's that on your hat, Mike?
USC Trojan.
Okay, nice.
I keep it.
Centurion.
Yeah, I'm just trying to... Thoughtful, you know, just make, please, you know,
okay.
Please go there. Please get accepted.
Oh, are you trying to go to
USC? Superstition?
Yeah.
Mike, all right. I thought you were.
Yeah. I'm not, but you gotta, if someone sees me with it, and they're like, I'm on the acceptance committee for USC Law School, and I'll be like, well, I'm a fan of athletic programs, and then they'll let me go there.
That's probably true. That's probably exactly how it'll go.
Yeah.
That's probably, I mean, that's what I'm banking on, because I don't want to study.
Right.
Or try, like, put in the effort, because that's not the American way.
No, absolutely not.
No.
So, this album I did not listen to growing up. I knew of. Dan, did you? I can't remember.
No, Eric introduced me to Tom Lehrer as well.
Okay. So, I don't know where I first heard of him, but...
Though I think I may have seen him on, like, PBS or whatever. Like,
sure.
I'm pretty sure Grandma watched it.
I know I've heard one or two of his songs before I was forced to listen to one of these albums. But let's start with Eric, because Eric's listened to him longer.
I never heard this album before. I've only heard his...
Funny.
I'm pretty sure most of them were, like, the compilation CD. Like, you know how they always put out one CD of all these. Like, the Smothers Brothers.
Yeah.
Sibling Revelry. But I think it was still called An Evening with Tom Lehrer, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
But most of those songs were from The Evening with Tom Lehrer. Like, the more popular, the Elements and...
Yeah. That's where I first heard him, actually, then. That would have to be it. Because it's on that Dr. Demento compilation.
Yes, it is.
So, yeah.
That's right.
And, yeah.
All right. So, that's the end of the episode. And,
but it was Ari that told me that he was more than just some random guy that was on Dr. Demento.
One hit, yeah. He did a couple albums. Although, to be fair, he only did a couple albums and then he stopped. Mm-hmm. But... I don't know. For me, like, listening to it, it's some of the best pointed satire from the time. Like,
absolutely.
He just went out of his way to not really make any bones about how he felt about things.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about pollution and politics.
One thing I read from a recent interview was he was recent. From when Clinton was... God damn it, I'm old! But he was talking about how, you know, the only thing people were making fun of with Clinton was... Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah.
He's like, that's not what I make fun of. I make fun of their policies and the things they actually enact.
Yeah.
And I think that's... Jon Stewart's probably the closest one that does that sort of stuff. Maybe Louis C.K.
Sure.
But a lot of people just go for the shallow things that everybody knows, as opposed to...
Well, blowjob's way easier to make jokes about.
Oh, hell yeah. Than, you know, Guantanamo Bay. Yeah. But that's what a lot of his stuff was. And so some of these things, because they're so topical, and because I noticed that with Smothers Brothers, too, where they'll have they'll mention people by name, and mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know, but it'd be the same as somebody saying Michelle Bachmann.
Right, right.
Where it's like, they didn't really make it as far enough, you know, in politics for me to go, oh, I know who they're talking about.
Right, right.
Because I only just, I have heard Newt Gingrich's name my whole life, mm-hmm. but I was like, I don't know who you, I just knew he was in politics. I thought right. he was the vice president for a while.
Well, he was in line, so it's not yeah. totally far off.
Yeah, just like, you know, listening to this, I'm actually, it makes you realize how long we've been fighting over some of these concepts.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like the song Smut is about censorship of mm-hmm. possibly lewd things.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes the point that anything can be lewd.
Yeah.
Especially yeah. very popular novels like, you know, Lady Chatterley's Lover, or yeah. he even mentions The Wizard of Oz. If you yeah. read that right, it can be really dirty.
Right, right.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Yes, that's
true. Ah, yeah. Noise.
It's so true.
But, like, he also, like, one of his songs is called Pollution.
Yeah.
And it's about saving the environment.
Yeah.
And nobody does that anymore.
Or, I love this one. It talks about this guy called George Murphy,
mm-hmm.
who was a dancer, actor, and a U.S. senator from California.
Yes, right, right, right.
And how he wants to be president. He's yeah. running for president, and how kind of retarded he is.
Yeah.
And in it, he jokes about Reagan becoming president.
That's right, he does. Right. That's so funny.
I'm like, got some news for you, Tumblr.
sad there news. We go.
Mm-hmm. But what's funny is, like, at the time, for the time, this is 65, okay, so we're talking 4 years pre-Woodstock, 4 years
mm-hmm.
pre, like...
Moon landing.
Liberal... Right. What did you just say?
Moon landing.
I thought you said moonlighting.
Yes, 4 years before moonlighting. It's a lot earlier than you thought. Yeah,
that's how Dan has all of his categories.
It's a hard moonlighting.
It's AM and PM for me.
Holy shit.
PM, yeah, a lot of PM.
Well. This is post-BM.
I don't remember more what I was going to talk about since you said that. But it's 4 years pre-Woodstock, but you're hearing the beginnings of dissatisfaction with... It became popular after this to become dissatisfied with your government.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the beginning
Tom
of it.
Tom was dissatisfied before it was popular.
Yes, he was! And, like, to listen to that, and also, at the same time, he's clearly, like... mostly liberal, but he also makes fun of the ineffectualness of folk singers, because he's got a song
yeah, he's
called
got
the Folk Song Army, which I think is brilliant.
Yes.
I mean, as liberal as I might be, I still think that's amazing, because I think all sides need to be poked in the eye
yes.
as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I like nothing better than somebody who's on my side keeping me in check.
You yeah. just like that there's a song on here about a vice president, don't you?
Yes!
I love that there's a song about Hubert Humphrey on here. That was another thing. I was going to use this as a lead-in with Matt to my new podcast that is not out yet. So, but, yeah, there's a whole song about Hubert Humphrey, who is, like, again, he's one of the useless vice presidents. Not to be a jerk, but he was... Lyndon Johnson used to, like, parade him around in, like, hats and stuff and make fun of him in front of the press.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, he would just have fun with them. Basically treat him like garbage.
If I was president, I'd do that when I was president.
Right? Wouldn't you?
I'd be like, it's Chippy the monkey.
He's a fez.
Dance for everyone.
Chippy. Man, my VP will be named Chippy. That's good.
You will nickname him Chippy.
I hope that's the name of the VP in whatever that movie was. Americathon?
Americathon.
God, I hope that's somewhere.
I mean, we've seen it. No.
Right, no, that's not happened yet. We will do a whole, we will skip vinyl as a theme just to cover that.
Yes.
Or we'll just call it Paul Scheer and have him do how did this get
well,
made.
Well, if it was a stage play, I wonder if there's like an original cast recording of it on LP.
Fuck yes.
But anyway.
So this is your first time here in Tom Laramie.
Yeah.
What,
he's funny. He's a funny guy. I love his piano work. I
no,
think he's a very good pianist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't even... Why did he stop performing? I mean, it's crazy that I haven't... I've heard the name many times, just mm-hmm. never heard anything that he's really done. Why did he stop performing? Do you guys know why?
He just said... He said he got bored. He toured for a couple of years, and then he was writing on a show that... What was it called?
The Year That Was.
It was called The Week That Never... Or
yeah, the Week... That was the Week That Was.
Yep.
And...
TW3.
That's what this album is all the songs he wrote that got censored, and the lady was singing it, so she had a different way of, you know, approaching. Performing it, so he just took all of his stuff and...
So I looked on here,
he's... So he took his ball and went home.
Yes.
I looked on here, he's a member of ASCAP, so I looked that up. So he has 60 songs that he wrote and has published officially. Mm-hmm. 60. And there's how many in here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, about 12?
There are, like, a lot of rumors. Mm-hmm. Some... I heard the rumor that Harvard forced him to quit.
Really?
That wasn't true. I heard a rumor that, fuck, I don't remember.
We could start one.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Can I start one?
I think it's because he impregnated Woody Allen's daughter.
Oh.
And blamed him for it.
Oh. And he was like, I'll take the blame. You know what? You gotta stop performance.
You know, here's the thing. I really did it, to be honest with you. You know, I mean, yeah, I couldn't help it. I'm a freak show of a person, to be honest.
Sorry, we haven't heard a Woody Allen album yet, so you don't know what he sounds like.
Yeah,
the only way to find out is through podcast.
Right.
Even though we don't podcast. Actually play the album.
People have never heard Bill Cosby before this podcast. People don't realize that.
Ever?
Nope. Mm-hmm. No, I introduced the world to Bill Cosby,
That's
Harry.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now instead of 4 in the tens place, you've got 3 because you added 1, that is to say 10 to the 2, but you can't take 7 from 3, so you look in the hundreds place. From the 3, you then use 1 to make 10 ones, and you know why 4 plus minus 1 plus 10 is 14 minus 1, because addition is commutative, right? And so you got 13 tens, and you take away 7, and that leaves 5. Well, 6, actually, but... the idea is the important thing. Now go back to the hundredths place. You're left with 2, and you take away 1 from 2, and that leaves... Everybody get 1? Not bad for the first day. Hooray for new math! New math! It won't do you a bit of good to read new math. It's so simple, so very simple, that only a child can do it. Now that actually is not the answer that I had in mind. Because the book that I got this problem out of wants you to do it in base 8. But don't panic. Base 8 is just like base 10, really. If you're missing 2 fingers.
So since you hear that Variety called him competent.
Yeah.
And the New York Times called him occasionally amusing.
Saying he makes music.
That is true. He is a person.
He has played the piano and had sounds come out.
See, I need to listen to this one more.
Uh-huh.
I definitely, all of my, the other ones that, he's got one, was it called The New Math?
Yes.
See, I was, when you, last week, uh-huh. when you guys were talking about George Carlin, where you're talking about how he's, intellectual, but he doesn't come off as, or whatever. Yeah. And I was sitting there just thinking, but who does?
Yeah.
But he kind of does.
Yes, he does.
He's
absolutely.
He's brilliant, and he talks about, like, you know, venereal disease or, like, who or got it from Sally or whatever.
Yeah.
And he talks about poisoning pigeons, but the new math, I'm like, what the?
Yeah, I, like, I thought I was listening to that, yes. And I'm like, that's how I learned math, and I was...
Really?
Yeah.
Because
really?
The thing is, like, basically what he's bitching about is they teach you how it works, not just 2 plus 2 equals 4, deal with it, but
yeah.
Why.
Yeah, okay.
And, like, the more advanced...
Okay.
Arithmetic.
Yeah, see, I don't know enough about new math to know what...
Yeah, I mean, well, I think what we have now is a growth of that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, honestly, you can't really bitch about that because you've... With the way the world is working, you've got to teach them the concepts at a quicker, at a younger age.
Sure.
You've got to come up with new math.
Right,
so you
right.
got to make fun of it, too.
But, yeah.
Exactly.
Like, the way I learned math, or I mean, the last couple of years at my school, it was all, he would lecture for a little while, and then we would have, it was all computerized. We would fill out our little bubbles, and then put mm-hmm. it through a scanner. And if we got a bad grade, we'd have to do it all over again. And mm-hmm. it was so ridiculous. No. But it was the best grade I ever got in math. Like, this is idiotic.
Well, see, we always had to show our work so that if we fuck up, you see where you messed up.
Yeah.
I mean, because he also talks about, like, imaginary numbers, like I.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, that's that kind of an advanced thing.
I don't know what that is. I never had to take algebra or anything in school.
I is the square root of -1.
Fuck you.
That's what I say when I hear that song. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't either. Like, they talked
about it's an imaginary number.
Because they talked about it, actually, recently. Neil deGrasse Tyson, on an episode of the Nerdist podcast,
he was just using it.
He was talking about new math. And then Chris Hardwick, who loves Tom Lehrer, brought it up. It brought up the new math song, and I'm still like, okay, it's funny, but I don't fucking get it.
Yeah.
I have no perspective whatsoever, because it was a very new thing in 1965.
Yeah.
As was,
It's not new anymore?
No, now it's...
Why don't we just call it math?
Right?
I think they do now.
Oh, okay.
Follow
on. Maybe that's what I'm used to. I'm confused, but I've never heard of I in my life.
Post-new.
Well, that's like...
This man is too smart for me.
That's higher calculus.
I want a comedian I can relate to, not one who's smarter than me. God damn it.
That's why he did Poisoning Pigeons in the Park.
Right.
That's what I feel about my president, too. I want my president to be someone I can relate to, not someone smarter than me.
Nope. Or darker.
Tom has a song that's like Cold Ethel.
Does he?
He's talking about, I hold your hand in mine, and you find out at the end of the song that he cut it off of her body.
I haven't heard that one.
Oh, man. So much of his stuff, it reminds me of, what is the one where they're talking about, he introduces every character in town.
Okay.
And then talks about, like, the math teacher. And how, you know, he does this, he's whatever, and then talks about how he takes dirty pictures of teenage girls. Every single part, and it reminds me of the Weird Al song, where he's talking about the good old days.
Oh, yeah.
It's,
yep.
Like, so similar.
That, do you remember Larry? Or what's the name of that song? Is it called Larry? What's it called? I don't remember.
I remember Larry.
Thank you. Yep. Do you... This is a weird question, and I think I know the answer to it, but I don't know anybody who's like this now. Do you think anybody who's a smarty pants could make it as a... I mean...
Well, Tim Minchin...
That's true.
He does is very... I think he has the upper echelon of, you know, I'm smart, but he tries to, like, pull everybody in.
Mm-hmm.
And...
I don't think he tries to pull everybody in. He's very
well. He doesn't try and pull. He tries to pull everyone who agrees with him in.
Right. Right.
Yeah, he's not gonna fuck around. If you are, if you like New Age stuff, or if you love the Pope, you are gonna feel awfully excluded at one of Tim Minchin's concerts.
I bet.
He has one song where it's like he gets the audience to repeat after him. Have you heard that? Or it's like. He goes, I love Jesus.
Oh, God.
And then they repeat. He does this so many times, and then eventually he's like, I hate faggots. And then the whole audience goes silent.
I've not heard that before. That's pretty good.
But it's definitely, there's a level of satire where it becomes almost mean, spirited, where it's like, if you don't get it, I'm not going to explain it to you.
Right.
And I feel like Tim and Tom both have that.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you got to either get it or get out.
Right,
I mean,
sure.
George Carlin has that.
Yeah. Definitely, especially later on. Again,
yeah.
I guess I got out on those.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases. Just because of the character, not because of the points he was making.
But it probably felt... I had the same feeling where it's like, I didn't get the joke, so I felt excluded.
Sure.
I didn't get the irony.
Right. And I like that a lot about this album, actually, because I just leaned over to pick up the album. That's why I sounded that way.
He's also a big musical theater
We're recording this
nerd.
In the bathroom.
He was what now?
Big musical theater nerd.
Who, Tom Lehrer?
Yeah, it says that...
Doesn't surprise me.
When he taught it at Santa Cruz, he taught math and musical theater.
Does it say he doesn't teach there anymore?
No, 2001 he retired.
2001, okay. And the only reason I mention that is because another big podcaster guy, you know, like me. Jesse Thorne from Jordan Jesse Go. I think he met him. May have had him as a teacher. So it's weird, like all the little connections, but he's talked about them, and yeah, like basically the reason he said he stopped doing it is because they're all doing the comedy themselves at this point. There's really nothing else for me to say, which is, I think that's the most true perspective you can have as a satirist. It's like,
yeah.
You know, they've done it. Although if you're a comedian, which he's not, I don't look at him as a comedian. He was a satirist. He did his thing, but he's obviously not a professional comedian.
Yeah. He did it because he had something to say and he was good at it.
Well,
Tim Minchin doesn't view himself as a comedian.
Right.
He views himself as a musician first.
Yeah. Which is
interesting.
He just wrote Madeline the Musical. It's on. I'm running on the West End right now to really good reviews.
What a game! I'm kidding. Really, Tim mentioned it.
Yeah, he really. I remember him talking about that.
Yeah, Madeline just opened in.
That's the West End
in London. It's doing really well.
Isn't Madeline taught at a Catholic school?
Probably. Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. Not that you have to be a Catholic to write that. You can be as subversive as you want.
Seeing it from the outside is probably a better
way. Yeah.
One of the songs on here,
yes,
it's called called "So Long, Mom." Yeah, song for World War III.
Yes,
nice.
Because I guess during that period of time, they were starting to get nostalgic for the music of World War II.
Yes, right.
So he's like, you know, well, we got to start planning for World War III now and start writing the music now, because a lot of those songs were actually from before World War II.
Right.
Just co-opted.
This is the one that's all about the bomb, right? Who's got the bomb, and it's basically everybody. Is that the album, or the song?
Yeah, it's about mutually assured destruction.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's pretty brilliant.
I remember playing that game. It was a DOS game you could play.
Oh yes.
Called Mutually Assured Destruction.
I remember you
could never win. It was impossible to win. The whole point was that mutually assured destruction is retarded. In the game, they called it MAD. The game was MAD.
That's awesome.
The game of mutually assured destruction. Because the whole point is just insane. This whole nuclear war thing is insane.
Yeah.
No one will win.
Yeah,
I will.
Because you're a cockroach.
Yeah. I'm about to hide in my room, so I'm not going to get...
I'm going to start reading a book in a bank vault.
Yeah. That's... Outside of somebody like Tim mentioned, who I still feel is like, I like him, but I think he's still kind of marginal as far as like, who knows that he exists. You know what I mean? I think he's
growing.
He's
fully aware. He was really surprised at the people who showed up at his concert.
And that we knew all his music.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's another thing. Another reason why he probably stopped recording is because, or stopped touring. One thing Tim mentioned, I don't know if he did it.
He
was... singing, boobs.
Yeah.
Fuck, I love boobs,
though. Oh, yeah.
We all were singing with him. He was like, this is why I can't do these songs on YouTube. Everybody knows them.
Right.
And part of the fun is, surprising people.
Well, that's the point of humor, yeah,
and
sure.
Probably.
Because the main part of the song is like a really slow, sad song about like poverty and hunger.
Yes.
But then the chorus is, fuck, I love boobs, though. And so when people know what's coming...
Right, it's not a joke anymore.
Yeah.
Not to the same degree, and I can totally relate to that.
Tom Lehrer's not a performer, he probably didn't have the thick skin where he's...
And musical comedians talk about that a lot, because it was recently brought up about when Garfunkel and Oates were talking about the fact that all these comedians out there now do new materials. Louis C.K. and Patton Oswalt, like, they'll throw it away after a year and write new stuff. Everyone knows that. That's not new. But with a musical comedian, you write new stuff, you go play it in a town that hasn't seen you before, and they want your hits, so it's like you gotta play those, because it's different. Musical comedians have that different level that they have to obtain to that the regular stand-up doesn't have to. As long as stand-up's funny, but with music, they're on a different... So it's different.
Yeah, the musicians, people are expecting them to play real music, yeah. And when you're a stand-up, they're not saying, do the joke about, you know, it's like, you know, do the one about the door on the side.
What? Wait a minute, let's examine Dan's idea of a joke.
Mitch Hedberg, one of the guys like banging on the wall because he's being too loud, is like, there's not a door there.
Oh, right.
I don't know what's on your side, but there's door on this side.
That's right.
First we got the bomb, and that was good, cause we love peace and motherhood. Then Russia got the bomb, but that's okay, cause the balance of power's maintained that way. Who's next? France got the bomb, but don't you grieve, cause they're on our side, I believe. China got the bomb, but have no fears, they can't wipe us out for at least 5 years. Who's next? Then Indonesia claimed that they were gonna get one any day. South Africa wants two, that's right. One for the black and one for the white. Who's next? Egypt's gonna get one too. just to use on you know who. So Israel's getting tense once when in self-defense. The Lord's our shepherd, says the psalm, but just in case, we better get a bomb.
It is an adult to be musical comedian because of that, because you've got a set amount of material, and then you either have the people who come and go, I've seen all of his 10 songs already, right. Or the people who come and go, he didn't play any of the songs that I thought were really funny that I wanted to
hear. What if you're Weird Al, though? I feel like everybody's satisfied at his fucking show.
Well, he's got such a large catalog.
That is true. From. He's been doing it for 30 years.
Yes.
Well, I have to admit, I really had to pee, at the last concert, and I got up during that, because I've seen it. Yeah. Like, it's the same thing every time. I really have to pee, that was his last song, so.
Oh, really?
Before the encore.
Weird Al, we still want you on the show, even though Ari obviously doesn't respect
you. But then, meanwhile, they always do the Yoda, the way they do Yoda at the end, where they're all doing chanting. I love that part. Yeah. I've seen it so many times, but I love it.
Yeah.
So it depends. It's like, it depends on your mood, too.
Yeah. And I can understand them wanting to do that because they probably invested a lot in the suit and maintaining that suit.
Yeah.
So they're going to use the suit.
That is true.
Although I kind of wish I hadn't seen his special because it was all the same. It was the exact same show.
I know. And that was
the one that was on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
I mean, it was cut down a little, but yeah, there wasn't really a whole lot of surprises. Although, Jay, you were on the screen.
Yeah, you were. You were at the concert.
Because when he does perform this way, they show parts of the videos, and the nude one is up there. So you are at every venue.
Yes. Hey, everybody! I'm famous.
Yay!
I'm one of the
Paps.
Thank you.
far right paparazzo.
That's right. Should just call them smears.
I think that's probably appropriate.
It really is.
Emos.
Call back.
Holy shit, that's awesome. I've been in two. That's awesome. All right. That's pretty good. That's pretty. You know, let's end on that because I'm happy.
Wait, you didn't talk about how you met Weird Al.
What? Oh, God. Yes. Holy shit. All right. So this will be a real quick side venture because it's appropriate because he's a musical comedian, right?
Mm-hmm. He's definitely influenced by Tom Lear.
Oh, fuck. You kidding, right?
Crazy.
And he's influenced me. But,
so you've been influenced by Tom Lear.
Yeah. But I was on the recording of the next two BBC America Nerdist specials, and I was there for the first episode, and because I made an awesome t-shirt, Chris Hardwick called me back, right? So on the second episode, I guess I can say this because people have already taken pictures of Weird Al there and posted them on Twitter, and he retweeted them, so it's probably okay.
Probably okay.
There's supposed to be a semi-surprise that Weird Al's there, but either way, Weird Al's on the episode, and there's a spot reserved, and so they put him down. That's the first episode. So they put him two seats away from Jen. Because Jen was also there. And he's sitting there the whole time. I'm like, oh, fuck. What do? I'm like, holy shit. Do I say something? I have to say something. Holy fuck, I have to say something. So I'm like, Al. And I'm like, Al. And he turns his head finally, and he looks around like, who's whispering to me like a creep? I'm like, ugh, wave my hand like it's me. He's like, Al. You're really partially responsible for my best friend and I becoming best friends. Just wanted to say that. And like, I gave him a little namaste, little bow, a little like thing. And he's like, oh, thanks so much, man. And he puts out his hand and shakes my hand. And I was like, so I shook his hand. And and he touched Jen on the way out as he left the audience because he had to. And now that was one of the best things.
I'm going to jerk off to that story tonight.
Me too. Like, this hand has touched Weird Al's hand. Anybody else
want to? So if you use that hand on your penis, it's like Weird Al's jerking you off.
It's so good. Believe me, I've thought of that.
Wonderful.
By the way, Weird Al, we'd really like you to come on.
Regardless, just the hand job.
Yeah, for more than just the hand job.
No HJs.
I know how this sounds.
I mean, if you want to do it, we're not going to stop.
Right, we're not going to stop.
And you know what? You've got like five hands providing you one.
Right.
Should you need it.
Five hands? There's like eight people. There's how many hands? We only get to use one hand?
Come on. We have a podcast to record. We can't all use our hands at the same time.
It's awkward.
But yes, I met Weird Al.
That's awesome.
But I was also in the Perform This Way video, briefly, as a paparazzi. And he was like the nicest director in the world.
And he had a really nice body.
Oh yeah, and his body was fantastic. Speaking of bodies, Tom Lehrer's body of work is somewhat extensive.
Somewhat extensive. This is a really backhanded thing, isn't it?
No, that's not it.
I love the two subtraction problems he puts on the bottom.
Yes, there are two.
He just puts two subtraction problems. And he says new math, but that's not new math. That's regular straight subtraction.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just because he also talks about, like, different modus. Like, base 10 versus base 8.
I still don't know what that is.
I know, right?
It's basically like, think of it's the math system any cartoon character would use. Because our math system counts up to 10 because we have 10 digits.
Right.
Cartoon characters have 8 fingers.
Okay.
So if they invented math, the highest they would count to is 8. Why? And then it would...
Why is that a thing?
Because in computers it's 8-bit.
Oh.
So it works out that way.
That's the point of new math, to relate to computers?
And, like, hexadecimal has 16 numbers.
I have a computer.
And, like, binary is 2.
Thanks, Mike. That's great.
So let's just face it. What he's bitching about is that they're teaching him more advanced stuff.
Okay.
And he's like, I knew that when I was...
That doesn't sound advanced to me. That bothers me.
Calculus on vinyl.
Yeah, because that's our new sister podcast, Calculus on Vinyl.
Worst podcast.
Watch the limit go to infinity. It's hilarious. Graph that shit. Graph it.
Where do you get that bitchish graph? I just love graphs.
I really do. I get a little wet by graph.
These shows never go where you
are. We're now sitting at home going, this is so random.
I am never coming on that show! Rikes, Raggy!
Yeah, that was more Shaggy than Raggy. Ow. I'm a little drunk. We don't normally drink for these podcasts, but...
We needed to.
We did three today. After what?
Zero Mostel.
After Zero Mostel, yeah, you need a drink.
We're going to be haunted forever.
Ari, I know you're not a comedian, but you are a writer, and you write comedy stuff, so... What,
and porn.
Well, of course you write porn. But has he had an influence on you, or is he just a funny person to you?
See,
Hold on, fan fiction or straight porn? Do you write
romance novel?
My own porn, yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah. Although I think I didn't write a fanfic of Harry Potter, which was porn. Yeah, don't tell anyone.
Yeah. Internet, don't tell anybody.
Mr. Internet, please keep it quiet.
Larry Potter.
Well, unfortunately, so many of the people that I admire, I don't think I get influenced by comedians because they're too funny, too smart. I look up to them because I would like to do that, but I don't think I really get influenced in that same way.
That's one of the things that actually, what you're saying, keeps me from doing stand-up is that
I listen to stand-up
and I'm like, I'm never going to be that good. I'm not going to even try.
Oh, I know.
Well, these guys are awesome. He's my favorite. I'm never going to be that good, so I'm not even going to try.
Meanwhile, though, I've had ideas for bits, like for stand-up, and then other people have taken them. I had, in high school, I came up with one about the freaking cheese wheel of toilet paper, where I'm between class, I have to run from one end of the high school to the other, and I get little squares at a time. And Ellen did that. I was like, fuck you! just different ones where I'm like, oh, well, see, someone else has noticed that.
Right.
Observed that about life.
Right.
So I'm good.
I can relate to that. That makes sense. I couldn't do stand. I won't say I couldn't, but I don't think it's not a form that necessarily... Pardon me, that I would entertain. I don't think it would work for me.
I think you'd have to find your own shtick.
Yeah. Well, you have to have a very particular voice, and maybe I do when I write, but as far as stand-up, I don't know.
That's what really attracts me to musical comedy, I think, because since I play piano, I think that if I ever started to write something, I could probably go in that direction if I ever did. Because, like Tom Lehrer, I'm not as prolific on the piano as he is. He's amazing. Or Tim Minchin. They're both wonderful.
Yeah.
They have that level. And plus, their wit is just astounding. But at least you have that crutch of, they didn't laugh, but there's still a pretty song.
Right.
Yeah.
You didn't walk away with it. Like, when you hear a stand-up that bombs, everyone's like, it sucked. It's like, you still heard some good piano music. Yeah.
I think you and I, Mike, should just do a show that is all parodies of Ben Folds' music.
I would love that.
I've got his hairline.
Yeah.
And I can do a really good impression of Ben Folds. So if you come up with some Ben Folds parodies,
we can do that. That'd be...
Yeah. Well, I thought about the... What rhymes with army? Army, farmy. Farmy could be about an Amish guy.
An Amish guy.
It
can make it really bad about the Amish.
Yeah. Well, who does
friggin' prairie Jews anyway?
Dad said, son, you've got a scythe, right?
Yeah.
And I thought, all right. Anyway, nobody out there is as big a Ben Folds fan as I am.
That's not true. There are plenty of Ben Folds fans. I have a tattoo of Ben Folds' piano on my back.
I thought you were going to say his penis.
I have his piano tattoo on my back. I'm a pretty big.
How is it his piano? How do you?
It's from his second album. It's the drawing. It's a picture of the second album.
I was gonna say because most grand pianos are baby
grand. They're the same. They're
similar.
Yeah.
He has his name on it.
Ben.
I actually showed him, and I was like lifting up my shirt to show him, but the shirt was still covered because it's here. I'm pointing to the lower part of my back, and he's like looking at my back with nothing.
Like, look at it, look.
He was so nice. He was sitting there. He was like, "What am I looking at?" And I was like, "Oh wait," they pulled it up even further.
Yeah,
I was like, "Look, I did that because I'm a fan." Wow, I'm creepy. I'm
still. You should invite me over to your house. So we can hang out because I got that tattoo.
Does anybody have any Tom Lehrer tattoos, do you think? Do you think anybody out there has
I do not. I can pretty much firmly make a bet of financial dollars that no one has a Tom Lehrer tattoo.
I'm gonna get a tattoo of his favorite black key.
Oh, yeah? I think you should. Just in that right angle. I think the right angle. Yeah.
I don't know. B-sharp.
B-sharp.
That's
yeah.
a C.
That's...
B-sharp is a C.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
I don't know anything B-flat, about
B-flat,
you
could do.
Yeah. No, I don't like that.
You don't like that?
That, everyone so gets B-sharp that one.
It'd be a white key. That's the only problem you'd have. It'd be a white key. You wouldn't want a white key, because that's like, what's
Racist.
The point? Yeah. Then everyone would be like, look
be
at her.
White on white.
I know. It wouldn't even show up. You need pink outline.
I want to get a tattoo of a glob of sour cream.
Good one.
I'm like, oh, you got something there.
You think Tom Lehrer has any tattoos? He lives in Santa Cruz. I mean, he's probably got a couple.
I'm gonna go ahead and say he probably does not.
Really?
Yeah.
He's still his Wikipedia page says he retired, but he still hangs out in Santa Cruz. Oh, in quotes, hangs out.
Maybe. I think we do need to ask Jesse Thorne if he knows Tom Lehrer because we need to get Tom Lehrer on the podcast. Just to know more about him.
And was too ill to go, and somebody suggested that he send Hubert, and he said, Hubert who? And all America was singing, whatever became of Hubert? Has anyone heard a thing? Once he shone on his own, now he sits home alone and waits for the phone to ring. Once a fiery liberal spirit, ah, but now when he speaks, he must clear it. Second fiddle's a hard part, I know, when they don't even give you a bow. We must protest this treatment, Hubert, says each newspaper reader. As someone once remarked to Schubert, take us to your leader. Sorry about that.
I would assume that it's more likely that he has a tattoo than someone else has a tattoo of him.
I would agree with that.
That's true. I mean, like, he's a nerdy icon in his own way. You know, The Elements, let's actually talk about that really quick, because is his most famous song.
Yeah.
I think Dan and I probably, you know, yeah, because we didn't know who he was, but we probably did hear the song first on that Demento compilation my mom owned. Mm-hmm. It had Shaving Cream and all the big famous ones. But you watched the thing where Daniel Radcliffe did that, right?
Yeah.
Describe it, because I can't remember things. Which, was it Graham Norton? I think it was Graham Norton where Daniel Radcliffe was such a big nerd. He was repeating The Elements.
He's like, he was just talking about how he would entertain his co-stars by singing the song.
Yes.
And so he's like, all right, do it. Right. So he did. He sang the whole song.
Do you think Daniel Radcliffe assumed it was entertaining when people were just sitting and just, okay, great, Daniel, that's...
Pretty sure, because he thought he was a lush because he drank a beer a week.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
He's so cute.
He's a weird little nerdy kid.
Yeah.
Like, but this is the kind of thing, though, that appeals to nerds, like, especially people who want, like, you know what, I recognize that, like, that's what comedy is. I recognize that, that's funny, but, like, nerdy comedy is its own thing. Like, holy shit, he's talking about this really specific smart thing.
Right.
Making me laugh really hard. Like, even I don't know the whole Table of Elements, but the idea that the man put the whole Table of Elements to a fucking song
alphabetically. I think it's by the order
number.
Is it really?
No, it's alphabetical because it starts with arsenic.
Really? Holy fuck. Like, that's, and he puts it to the tune of Modern Major General.
Right? Yes.
Which is like, I don't know. Like, for you guys.
Now his song's out of date, though.
That is true.
They just named two elements.
Two officially. Actual, or...
Like, gave them real names as opposed to, like, Uno Uno Unium or whatever. Like,
oh, really? That's weird. Well, we should update it. But, like, as for, like, nerdy music, has that ever helped you guys? I don't know. For me, like...
Sex? No. I don't think it's helped.
No, I have scored...
Sing Poisoning Pigeons.
I know. I've scored so many chicks.
By singing the hunting song. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, that kind of shit helps me get through life. Like, knowing that, you know, this is a really famous person who a lot of people buy their albums. I'll bet everybody who buys their album doesn't get the joke that they're making. But, like Weird Al. Like, Weird Al, for me, like, I'm sure there were nerdy things in there that I got that I'm like, he's speaking to me specifically. You know? Like, Ari, why is Tom Lehrer funny to you? Why was he as a kid funny to you?
I don't think she listened to him as a kid.
No.
Fuck you. Then
he was an adult.
Okay. He was an adult?
Yes.
Oh.
He's been an adult since he was 18.
When Harry was a child and first listening to Tom Lehrer.
Oh.
I'm asking.
I think, well, like I said, I haven't heard this one as many. I've heard it once.
Right.
But
that's not a lot of times.
It's not. It's crazy. The other album, though, with the, they're probably my favorite song was... The one where the girl's going around, it's the Irish, like, drinking song, or the,
I think
not a ballad, but it's like, fuck.
An Irish drinking
reel?
Song.
I don't know.
Sure, let's say it's a reel.
Where she's going around killing all her family members.
Uh-huh.
And it, like, Jim, because Jim and all, my stepdad and all of his friends are, they just jam and they do old Irish drinking songs. They do,
really?
Like,
this, yeah. By the way, it's called the Irish Ballad.
He needs to come out here with all his friends and play music, but
yes.
Keep going.
And with, like, he would sing, there's one song, I don't know if you know the song, Sister, Sister, where one of the sisters, or the two sisters are walking by a river, and one of them kills the other one,
uh-huh.
And then pushes her in the river, and the body gets swept up, and this farmer finds it and turns her body into a violin.
Whoa.
And it's like, those songs, like, because they're so macabre,
mm-hmm.
and just
I don't know who
up.
I find more disturbing, the sister that murdered her sister or the farmer.
Yeah, right?
It's like, oh, body, a violin is all waiting for this.
Fears make good bones.
I know, the sister just walking along the edge. I love you, sister. I hope there's a farmer down the street.
This is all a big old plot.
I know.
Dude, where are you going with that here?
Who wrote that song?
Well, that's the thing. They were so such weird songs, but they really creeped me out. And I liked, and like the story of Lizzie Borden and that sort of stuff. And I think that was, all of his songs on the other album are like that, but they're just fucked up.
Uh-huh.
Where it's like, or just some. And I think that combined with the piano playing and how it's so old school, it's just like, I'm sure, like, some of my friends would have listened to it and discounted it because of the songs, and they wouldn't listen to the lyrics. It was probably definitely some of that where it's like, they're listening to it, but they don't understand that this is fucked up. So, I think that appealed to me.
So, it's the same as a lot of music for some people. Like, a lot of us listen to music and we're like, nobody else is listening to this the way I am.
Yeah.
Which is true in a lot of ways.
It's
like,
true.
It's like the Beatles, a lot of people, there are a lot of Beatles songs that are way deeper than they appear to be. Most of them are, maybe not. But, like, there are a lot that are way deeper than most people.
It's that personal connection to music that people have that... It also falls back onto when you find an indie band or an indie group that only you, nobody, or none of your friends know about, and they're so small, and you go see them play in small venues, and then they start to take off.
Yep.
And you feel like,
oh, I knew them back when.
Right.
And it's like, you want them to succeed because they're your favorite band. You want them to keep making music. Otherwise, like, hey, this isn't working out. Let's go get day jobs. And,
right.
Yeah. And let's quit doing this. But that's happened to me with a few bands. I saw a couple bands play at the Troubadour, and they were nothing. And there was 100 people, maybe 200 people at this venue. And
Real Big Warped Fish.
Tour, and
it's right too big for their
freaking. And then now they're just, like, playing Warped Tour, and it's like thousands of people, and it's like, yeah, but you guys didn't know them
better than Ezra.
Eric and I actually kind of felt that way a little bit when we went to Comic-Con the last time.
Because
The first time we went to Comic-Con,
yeah,
Mike Nelson was all by himself,
yep,
signing things for Riff Tracks.
That's
no
weird.
One was listening to him.
Yeah.
It was actually kind of depressing because it was most of the time by himself. And sometimes he'd have a guest.
And he signed my Bender head.
And he signed Jason's Bender head.
Boom!
And, like, you could just walk up to his table and get a signature because there was literally no one in line.
That's fucked up.
No one. Whereas, like, there was a line around the corner for, like, Katie Sagal, and you had to get a lottery from Matt Greening.
Wow.
2 years later, you had to get in line an hour before their panel or else you would not get into
that's
the
so
room.
And
but it's like you're happy for the success of the artist.
Yeah,
you're happy
exactly.
for the success, but
sure.
also, on a personal note, you feel less like...
Because, like, we held a, like, a... Probably a 15-minute long conversation with Mike Nelson the first year. Now he just look at us as another person because we are,
yeah.
technically.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first year we were, too.
You're two pieces of shit, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. But at least the first year we were two pieces of shit in a field of, like, six shits. Now we're in, like a sewer, and it's just a little bit of shit floating around all these
I'm
other shits.
I'm stuck against the ceiling, and I can't even... Well, I think part of it is funny.
You probably smell better, though.
But it's funny, because it's like that. I think you want the recognition that you acknowledge their
yes.
coolness
yeah.
before all these other people acknowledge their coolness.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other hand, like, it was a crapshoot.
I know. How lucky were you that you just happened to hear it?
Right? So it's like, Jay and I have had this discussion where it's like, for a long time, we were at each other's throats because, oh, he doesn't like something I like and I like something he doesn't like or whatever. And it's so silly because it's like, you can learn things from people or it's like, you can appreciate, like, why get pissed at someone because they went to see the band that you saw a long time ago instead
right.
of saying, dude, aren't they awesome? Mm-hmm. It's another thing if you listen to a later album and you're like, okay, this is so not what they were like before, and someone
right.
else Crash is like,
systems.
I like this so much.
Like after
more.
When Tom Lehrer went electric.
Or like, okay, like Eddie Murphy, what you're talking about. It'd
yeah.
be like if someone's like, oh, I like him in Disney movies. And
right.
you're like, fuck you.
Right. Like, you know what? I don't think anything can get better than Norbit. Like, I'm going to stab you in the neck.
I don't know. It's like in High Fidelity, he says it's not what you're like, it's what you like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Records, music, books, these things matter. You can be a nice person. I don't care if you don't like the same stuff I do.
That's
like so wrong. It's like,
yeah.
really?
Exactly.
Like, he's an asshole, but dude, he's really into Tom Lehrer.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, me too. I don't like hanging out with him other than that. But we like
this. At least there's something to talk about.
But then it's the opposite, too, where it's like, oh, I like them, too. And you're like, oh, well. It's
yeah.
like, I've had people say that to me, where it's like, oh,
yeah.
I really like them. And they're like, okay. Like, fuck you.
Are we supposed to have, like, a conversation about this now? Like,
I mean, yeah, to me, art is about a shared experience, so you would think people would be more... Well, I don't know. Some people just, I guess they have to have it and move on. But
I like it the way I like it.
Right.
You can like it the way you
right.
like it.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just learning that that's a waste of energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, people... I mean, I'm not saying that, like, in the woo sense. I'm just saying I get tired when I have to argue about people... Or argue with people because they like Miley Cyrus.
Mm,
said I'd rather just make fun of her and move
why
on.
Why are you hanging out with 12-year-olds?
They work with me.
Right.
Although I have to say that partying the CIA is the best.
That is a great. That is a great parody and a great video and just a great yeah.
Oh,
no, well done. Because I hadn't heard that song first.
Oh,
I hadn't heard
either.
The original, so I went back and listened to her piece
it's
of
so
shit.
It's so bad. It's
yeah.
so bad.
Yeah.
At
but
least,
I mean,
like, Weird Al has, like, a different, like, lyric
yeah,
during every chorus.
Yep.
She doesn't.
No, and he auto-tuned himself less than she did.
Yes,
he auto-tuned himself for the effect, but, like, less. Because he knows how to carry a fucking tune.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But at least she's more talented than her father.
That is technically true. He's parodied both. Has he ever done that before? Parodied two generations?
I don't think so.
Because that's pretty awesome. Awesome. That is,
it is go
very
awesome.
Awesome.
It is so awesome, it has a G at the beginning.
G apostrophe awesome.
It's called The Vatican Rag. First you get down on your knees, fiddle with your rosaries, bow your head with great respect, and genuflect, genuflect, genuflect. Do whatever steps you want if you have cleared them with the pontiff. Everybody say his own, Kyrie eleison, doing the Vatican rag. Get in line in that processional, step into that small confessional. They're the guy who's got religion. I'll tell you if your sin's original. If it is, try playing it safer. Drink the wine and chew the wafer. 2, 4, 6, 8. Time to transubstantiate. So get down upon your knees, fiddle with your rosaries, bow your head with great respect and genuflect, genuflect.
Yeah.
So,
I'm closing.
That's fine.
I don't know. So I guess closing thoughts on all musical comedy.
I think I like... Well, okay.
No, keep talking.
Well, Mike mentioned Storm, and Storm is not a song to mention.
It's a 9-minute beat poem.
It's a 9-minute beat poem.
I think I mentioned it before we came on the air, so...
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's favorites.
It's a Tim Minchin 9-minute beat poem.
Yeah, and it's
okay.
Amazing, and it's not just... I don't know. I guess I do find comfort in the lyrics, but... Or the... What's the poetry? Yeah. But it's got a cadence to it. It's not a song, but it's definitely...
Musical elements behind it, too. Is it me? And there's music behind
music
it. No, he just stands in front of a mic and...
Okay.
And it's just got, like, the whole bass just...
Boom, yeah. Boom,
okay.
And the whole... I've listened to it, like, 3 times in a row before. It's just, like, I don't... I mean, poetry is... lyrical, but I think that included, I think what is nice about comedy, like, music, is that you can listen to it as music, as a song.
Sure.
You can listen to it over and over
again.
It makes
it a little more, yeah.
I think it has replay value a little bit more.
Yeah.
I mean, with all the problems that it has performing live and not being able to perform the same songs over and over, or having to perform the same songs over and over, it does have replay value. I can listen to, I'm really big into Garfunkel right now, I can listen to a lot of their stuff over and over and over and over and over. I can listen to a comedy album maybe once a week if I really like the album, but I can't just put it on repeat and listen to the comedy.
Or even like just a single sketch over and over.
Exactly.
And wear on you.
It fools you into thinking you're not listening to preaching.
Yeah.
Because a lot of satire is preaching, but like if it's done creatively, which is the point, you know, it works. I mean,
that's how we can subvert the American people.
Exactly. That's how you're supposed to. Music. Yes. Ben Folds. You, me, parodying Ben Folds, because that's what the world's been waiting for.
Yeah, I think it has been. I think that's what...
The world's ready now.
Yeah.
Give me my...
I'll support...
Jesus back. Give me my Jesus back, you bitch. That's all I got. Well, I thought about the Amish.
Farmy.
I thought about the farmy. Dad said, son, you're... What?
He wouldn't swear,
words.
So...
You're really...
Why wouldn't he? He's not Amish.
What's that?
And I thought...
Dad's not Amish.
Yeah, no, the dad would be if he was telling... Oh, yeah, I thought about the Amish. I thought about it going to be Amish.
So I took my old man's advice.
What song is this?
Army.
I don't know if I know this song.
You might not.
It's kind of interesting, like, parodying somebody whose lyrics are humorous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
he's a border. He's
parody Weird Al's originals.
I've been wanting somebody to do that, just to be meta.
Not Nirvana, but maybe the Foo Fighters to parody, not parody, but to cover... Like, Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah, I've been wanting
to
see that too.
The original people to cover their own.
Yes.
Yeah, because
I've been waiting to see that album.
It's really common to do something like that. Like, there's like that one Dark Side of the Moon album that's all covers.
Mm-hmm.
And like that one, like, Beatles thing that's all covers.
Especially if it was like for Weird Al, if it was all his style parodies specifically.
Or
you
the
know,
Green
like.
Album.
Yeah, what? Yes,
Green
right.
Album.
That was really good. But.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weezer's Green Album?
No, The Muppets had a Green Album.
Oh.
Where they did, it's a whole bunch of bands and covers of
my favorite songs. Thing to do listening to Weird Al is when you turn it up, like at work, when you're listening to it, and they're like, is this, or who, is this T.I.?
Oh, god damn it.
Like,
well,
that's, like Don McLean, who almost sings Weird Al's lyrics in concerts.
One of the issues with parodies now also is the intertubes. And the fact that as soon as the song's out, there's 50 parodies on YouTube.
Oh, God. Usually,
yeah. Automatically, there's parodies out there. It's like, eh.
There's always a ukulele cover, to be fair. There's at least a ukulele cover, if nothing else.
Yeah, so parody is difficult to do. I think Weird Al was lucky that he got in at the time he...
Yeah, but if you do a good parody, that's going to rise above all the other chaff. Yeah.
Well, but he has several layers, too.
Also, it's if you're Weird Al, you're going to rise above everybody else because you're a name. You're a brand.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I'm glad there's a brand, though, because otherwise we'd have to stick with the Vagina song that came out years ago or all that other garbage that you found on Napster.
Although, I have to say, I'm rather impressed, but I got the wrong leg amputated. That's a pretty good fake Weird Al song.
Yeah. I haven't listened to all of it because I just like... I had a roommate, he's a very nice gentleman, but he used to think that all those songs that claimed to be Weird Al were Weird Al, and it really bothered me. It's like, no! How do you not understand this is not Weird Al? He's like, I don't know. No, how do you not know that that's Weird Al? Doesn't sound anything like him. I don't know. No, you know! Have you ever heard of Weird Al? Yeah, I love Weird Al. Well, how do you not know that's not a Weird Al song? I don't know. Fuck you! I would get so angry. So, but yeah, no, as far as...
I think he's even got blamed for Dear Penis.
Dear Penis? What?
That was... Randy Travis got blamed for that,
Dear
too.
Penis?
It's such a great song.
What is this a parody of?
D-E-E...
It's not a parody, even. It's a comedy song.
D-E-E-R or D-E-E-R?
No, D-E-E-R. It's a letter to his penis.
It's not a... It's not... Dear Penis. It's not a...
No,
Christmas tune.
It's not like Dear Prudence or like, that's my first thought. Because that makes me uncomfortable. Dear Penis.
It's not a bad song.
It's not?
No. I like it.
It's cute.
My dad?
No.
I had it on...
Oh, Mike just got angry about some sports stuff.
Sports stuff! Urgh.
Is this... That's it with your
Yes, league, she's your beating league? Me 140 to 117
Is this fantasy
now.
Football?
Fantasy football!
Are you a fan... Is Mike... Mike,
what, Mike is RPGing with football players.
Is Mike Mitchell in this one or no?
No, not, no. I already lost in that league.
Is that the one person you know?
Mike Mitchell?
No, Mike Mitchell.
Yeah. That's about it.
The...
Team Cardinals. Guys.
Team Coco.
Mm-hmm.
The artist. Oh,
I hooked,
I'm
them,
in a
I hooked them up to be in a fantasy
with him.
Football league.
I've made the playoffs. I lost last week. This is a separate league.
You know this is RPG, right?
This is
it is. It is, to be
oh,
fair.
Well, you're a gamer.
Sports
so.
And nerds people have a lot in common.
I'm just saying.
They both like cosplay. Like, one dress up like a Bengal and the other they both wear t-shirts of their favorite... You know, whatever.
How long ago did we let go of Tom Lehrer, by the way? How long ago did that happen?
He's not dead.
Oh, he's not dead? Oh, that's good.
I am very sad.
We were still talking about Weird Al.
I'll keep talking about Weird Al, because that's honestly the best way I can relate to this. Mike's angry. Mike's leaving.
Did we mention
the...
Oh, yeah, we did.
I think we're probably ready to... To shut
her
down.
Yeah. Shut her down. Well, okay. All right. Well, you know, I think the final or at least semi-final word should be from Aerie because Aerie's like, you don't know.
I think I want to listen to this album a few more times because, you know, I think the first time listening to it straight through was a little, because it's a lot more about that time period.
Yeah.
So it was a little foggy.
So it's a little harder. Yeah.
But whereas, like, the ones where they're just weird songs are definitely... Although there are a few of his songs I skip past because I'm like, I don't understand.
Yeah. Well, I think that's reasonable because, like, I could sit there and pretend to laugh through a bunch of these. But, I mean, they're kind of like, I don't know who George Murphy is. That said, I do know a whole bunch about Hubert Humphrey. You don't need to know anything about him to get why that song is funny.
Yeah.
But I'll make sure and play a clip of that because he was a useless... I only say that because Walter Mondale, he's one of Walter Mondale's heroes. And Walter Mondale shit out on this on the Vice President's documentary. No. So, guess what, Walter Mondale? Suck it!
Yeah! He was Prime Minister of Canada?
Yes, Walter Mondale. Yep, that is exactly who that is. Well, Dan, final words on Tom Lehrer. What do you have to say?
He's funny and I really have to pee.
That's great. So do I. Mike?
This was a great episode.
Great. I'm going to close it out by saying thank you very much, Aerie Jarvis,
yay,
Dan Gomiller, Mike Warden,
hello,
and this is me saying thank you for joining us and have a good thing. Bye-bye.
la la la, dreamy, oh la la la, in their wonderful eyes.
Comedy on Vinyl is recorded at Fort Awesome Studios in beautiful downtown Burbank, California. Our producer is Mike Warden, our host is Jason Klom, and he's also the editor. Comedy on Vinyl is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. You can check out all of our other podcasts, books, videos, other audio stuff, probably some writing, at stolendress.com. And please check out Comedy on Vinyl at facebook.com/comedyonvinyl, twitter.com/comedyonvinyl. And please subscribe to us on iTunes, rate us highly, and spread the word.